Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, I'm looking forward to, in just a few moments, sharing with you a message from God's Word that I shared with the congregation at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. And before we get to that, I thought I'd just tell you a little bit about us. My name is Jesse Wagoner, and I'm the senior pastor of Mount Calvary, and I'm your Bible teacher today. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for giving your time to listen to the truths of God's Word and to be involved in this opportunity to learn more about Him. So thank you. Thank you. You're the reason we are here. We want to thank you very much for that. And also, if you want to get to know more about us, who we are and all that sort of thing, visit our website. It's calvarywv.com. One more time, calvarywv.com. And there you can not only find out who we are, and if you're in the area, you can come visit us, worship with us. Always welcome for that. But also, you can even get more Bible teaching resources there, both video and audio and a lot of content that we don't even present in this format. So we want to encourage you to do that and to be a part of that. So thank you very much for that. Also, a lot of times when you listen to this type of presentation, somewhere along the line, we're going to ask for a gift. Hey, if you'll send us some money, it keeps us going. Well, we're not going to do that, because this is our gift to you. All the production costs, all the broadcast costs, all that sort of thing is funded by our church, and we put this out as a gift to you. So we don't want anything in return monetarily. We always appreciate your prayers. We always would appreciate your encouragement. If you want to give us some feedback, you can do that at calvarywv.com, or you can also go to this website, this email, I should say, info@calvarywv.com. Just put an info@calvarywv.com, and we'll get that. But we'd appreciate that. And also, something else you could do, you can share with others what you're receiving. Tell them about when this is on, where you're hearing it. If you see our social media content that you're going to find out there, just hit the like, hit the share it with someone else. That would be a big help to us, and we would appreciate that very, very much. Today, I want to just share with you that this a fact that you're not going to be surprised that is true, that Jesus indeed is worthy of our praise. And we think about Palm Sunday, we think about the events that happened on that day, that Sunday before Resurrection Sunday, and kind of all that transpires in between in the Scriptures. It was a very unique day. I kind of picture it this way. So many of you have had this experience, and it's kind of out of season for this thought, but think it's football season. And there's a day that suddenly the largest city in West Virginia is no longer Charleston. It suddenly becomes Morgantown, because they're playing a home game in Mountaineer Stadium. There's always, you know, there's all kind of things. I love the pregame show with the band and all that. They play those songs, and then they got to play Country Roads in the middle of it, and all of us West Virginians just, you know, go crazy over that. And then you have the moment when the team is going to run onto the field, right? So suddenly here they run, and all 60,000 people just are on their feet, just cheering and screaming. Why? Because this is who we've come to see. This is who we've come to root for. I kind of think that is a pale feeling, anyway, emotion, what it must have felt like on this Sunday when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. Because there's several things that lead to this, up to this story. One was, he was coming to Jerusalem, they had all this expectation. He'd worked miracles, he'd healed people, he'd fed people out of a very small amount of food. He'd done all these amazing things. There was opposition, as you know, but you'll see in this passage the opposition as well. But he's coming to Jerusalem, and probably the thing that keys it off, John's description gives it most clearly, where this happened after he'd raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, okay, so when you're raising the dead, you're on a whole new level, right? And there were people that came from Jerusalem down to where Lazarus was, and it was just like this back and forth. So as he's coming into Jerusalem, there's this expectation that he was going to be the king. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to kick out all the bad guys, and he and the good guys are going to come in, and we're going to have a freedom. Now, you have to understand something else. Israel at this point was not free. They had no freedom of their own. They were under the domination of the Roman Empire. And you see that clearly in the New Testament. But if you go back 200 years before, there was a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus. You look up his story sometime and read the story. He was a priest. He was a Jewish priest. And he led what we know as the Maccabean revolt. And they got a little bit of freedom, if you will, from what was known as the Seleucid Empire, which was sort of the remnants of the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. And his name was Judas, but he also had the name of Maccabee, which means the hammer. That was his nickname. This priest who was the hammer. So he leads this revolt. There's all this warfare. And for a brief moment, Israel was free. And one of the things in their day, when you proclaim a king or a conquering king coming, you would pull palm branches off the trees and wave them. That was the standard issue way you celebrated. And so when Jesus is coming, they did the same thing. Now, about 90 years before the time of Christ, the events we see in Jesus' ministry, the Romans come in and kind of take back over, and now they're under oppression again. And they're wanting to be free from that. We're looking for someone to set us free from all this bondage. We want our freedom as a people. We want our freedom to do as we please. Freedom not to be oppressed and attacked and under the thumb of these pagan people. So when Jesus is coming, this scene unfolds. And that's what we have here in chapter 19. And we're going to find out that their worship, their praise of the Lord Jesus, can be a template for us. Go, if you will, down to verse 35 in the text. You know this story very well, so I don't have to get into all the details, but I'll share some of the pertinent ones with you. Verse 35, then they brought him to Jesus, that's this donkey that they've been talking about in the preceding few verses, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went out, many spread their clothes on the road. And as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. They always kind of show up. Did you notice that? There's always somebody that's going to rain on the parade, okay? There's always somebody that's going to be the naysayer, all right? And throughout Jesus' ministry, that was these guys. And some of the Pharisees called him from the crowd saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Why did they want to be rebuked? Because what they said, if you look back in 38, was this one who's coming in the name of the Lord. Notice the fourth word in the phrase. Blessed is the king. Amen. Suddenly, no, he's not a king. He can't be a king. If he's the king, we're in trouble. if he's in charge, our whole system, which is rather corrupt, frankly, is going to be in jeopardy. And then he says, peace, it says, who comes in the name of the Lord? Well, they represented in their own minds, we're the people who are serving in the name of the Lord. We don't want you praising our replacement. You can't be real. Jesus, they're proclaiming you to be the Messiah that's this long sought for, this long, long for Messiah. They're proclaiming you to be Messiah. You're not the Messiah. So just tell them to shut up. I love Jesus' response. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. That's not hyperbole. That is not symbolic. That is not just talk. I honestly believe that literally would happen. Because why? He was the king. He was the one coming in the name of the Lord. We know him as the Savior of the world, the Christ. Now, in our vantage point, the risen one. So he says, this praise is going to go forth. And friends, our responsibility as followers of Christ is simply this. We need to join in that chorus of praise. We need to lift our voices and say, with our lips and with our hearts and with our lives and with all that we have, Lord, you are worthy of praise, and I praise you. You are the King. You have come in the name of the Lord. You're my Savior. You're all that I need. We've sung about that so beautifully this morning. I enjoyed listening to you sing along with our leaders on stage this morning. Just beautiful, singing those songs of praise. So I want to challenge you to do this. And this Palm Sunday, this is why we're looking at this Sunday, because it is Palm Sunday, but also it illustrates the why and the what of our worship of Jesus Christ. It's sort of a worship template, if you want to say it that way. This reality that this is how we can worship, why we should worship, and we're not in the same setting. Frankly, we're in a better setting. Because we know what happened the following Friday when he went to the cross. We know what happened on the third day he rose again. We know what happened when he ascended into heaven. We know what's next when he comes back. We have a much better vantage point of knowledge and understanding than they had. So we have more opportunity to praise. So I want to challenge you. I'll tell you up front. This week, here's what I want us to do. The challenge I want us to accept. And simply this. Let's make this a week of praise. Jesus is deserving of it, amen?
Jesus is worthy of it. We are desirous to give it. And you know what? This is way down the list of motivators, okay? But if we give ourselves a week of praise, it might just change us a little bit too. I believe it will. I think it will have a transformative effect. So let's make this a week of praise and to find something we can praise Him for, perhaps something new every day, and praise Him every day. God will be pleased, and I believe you'll be changed if we do. First of all, let's talk about just three simple components, if you will, of our worship. Number one, if you're going to worship, you're going to praise, you got to show up. Well, they showed up, right? So there's a whole story from 28 to 34 about this donkey, and I've shared that with you before, several times before over the years, but I want to just get to the story. So they finally get the donkey there, and notice what it says. They brought him to Jesus, that's the donkey, verse 35, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. It was sort of a makeshift saddle, if you will. Now, in their day, you think about taking off your jacket, taking off your coat or something like that, and, you know, not a big deal. Many of us can go to our closet, and it's like, what coat am I going to wear today? Am I going to wear a coat today? It's which coat am I going to wear today? You know, you got the coat when it's slightly cool, the midwinter coat, the coat that looks good, the coat that you wear when you go to work. You know, you have all these different coats. They basically had one outer garment, kind of worn over everything else, okay? Sometimes you might have a change or two, but it was not like they had a closet full. And it was valuable. Fabric and cloth and woven goods, that sort of thing, was something that was costly and valuable. So when you took off your outer garment, your cloak, if you will, and you gave that to someone else for their use, you were sacrificing something very profound. But they showed up to do it. They showed up, and it says in verse 37, as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives just sits across from Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives is later where he ascends into heaven from. But there's kind of a deep valley, and it comes up, and then Jerusalem kind of sits on the next little knoll over. So people coming out of Jerusalem would come down into the valley. Here's Jesus coming down the valley, down a little pathway, heading toward Jerusalem, heading toward the capital city, heading toward what they thought was this new kingdom coming. And so it's sort of like they can see him descending, they can see him coming, and they're coming. So it's this big, beautiful scene laid out in front of them. And the multitude comes. The whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying. They showed up. They came. They came with together. And there's something about worshiping together. You all seem to enjoy singing when we're here in church, like we have been this morning, right? And for some of us who are never going to be on this stage singing and leading, it's very nice to have people to sing with, all right? People can keep you on tune. People can drown out your bad notes. People that can lead you along. People who actually know the lyrics ahead of time and know the tune ahead of time. Just kind of pulls you along. We need to be together. We need to be together to worship and praise. We need to just make that a regular experience of life. They showed up looking for a king, but there was something they were missing. Now, first of all, this palm branch. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Back in the book of Leviticus in chapter 23, there's a description of a particular Jewish holiday that takes place in the fall of the year. It's sort of a harvest festival known as the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? And they would go out and they'd build these booths out of plants. And one of the things that they were required to do was to bring palm branches and to wave them, all right? And they now today it's called a lulav in Hebrew. Jews still would practice this at that time of year. Basically, it would be a palm frond that hasn't opened, just kind of all closed up. And a willow branch and a myrtle branch, all kind of woven together and sort of thing. And they wave them as part of their worship today. So this concept of a palm branch, not only was it historically, like I mentioned, from Judas Maccabeus, but also from other times when you just wave them. So there was this kind of built-in thing that if a king was coming, you get a palm branch and wave it. It's standard issue. It's what you do, okay? So it ties in with what it says in verse 38, this king who was coming. So they showed up. They're looking for a king. Now, the problem is, I hate to put a problem in all this praise, okay? This was all these people worshiping, praising, waving palm branches, and they'll do a few other things that we would see from other passages. By the way, it also tells us, all four Gospels record, that's what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they also said that some of them would take off those outer cloaks, those outer garments, and lay them in the street. And then they'd take the palm branches and lay them in the street, just sort of be a makeshift carpet, if you will, for him coming. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But nonetheless, they were worshiping King. The problem was, the following Friday, public opinion was slightly different. Let me rephrase that. Public opinion was drastically different. The cries were no longer this King who comes in the name of the Lord, not this one who we're saying now is bringing us peace in heaven and glory to the highest, all his words of praise. The shouts was reduced to two words. Crucify him. How could that take place? Now, I don't believe everybody that was praising him here was part of that crowd on Friday. Maybe there was some overlap, but just the general population, whoever was involved, that was the cry that was given. Now, we know that Jesus is a king. We know that he will be a king. He is a king, always been a king. And the Bible will tell us when Jesus, the Bible does tell us when Christ will return, he is proclaimed to be the King of Kings over all the kingdoms of the world. The thing they were missing, they wanted the benefits of having a king without dealing with the problem of sin. And no matter how good you can make the environment of the world or make our own personal environments, if we haven't dealt with the problem of sin, we have a tremendous, eternal, unending weight and burden and problem of sin. So Jesus was coming not to set up a kingdom. Jesus was coming to do the first thing first. Jesus would do the most significant thing first, and that was to deal with the problem of sin. He was coming to not set up a kingdom, but coming to be the sacrificial lamb to die for the sins of the world. The disciples missed it. The crowd missed it. His opponents missed it. Virtually everybody missed it. Maybe there was just a very slim minority that figured this out. But they were worshiping him in a way that was appropriate, but their desire to see what was going to be fulfilled was erroneous, if I could say it that way. I simply say this to this. We must show up worshiping Jesus as both Savior and King. We need to thank him for what he's done personally for us because he died on the cross to pay sin's price. We have that applied to us, not just by default, but it's applied to us through belief, through faith. And when we trust that that is true for me, then that becomes effective for us. Our sins are forgiven. We have a relationship with God. The Spirit of God empowers us. He begins to change us. We begin growing. And someday when we are finished in this world, we step into his very own presence for all eternity. Heaven awaits. Heaven awaits. When he says in there, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, that peace with heaven is going to be accomplished within the week through his death on the cross. And I would simply say this to you. They sort of missed the full significance of this day. Please don't miss the full significance of what Jesus did in his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. It matters to you. It's not just some quaint thing from history, this sort of religious thing we mark every time, but it's important for us to do that. We must show up worshiping the Savior. So praise him together. Now, so this week, I want you to be looking for some new thing to praise him for. Something you've never, just maybe something you, and I've been practicing this because I knew I was going to share this with you. Thinking about all the things I could just praise him for and trying to offer praise in my heart and mind about things that I never would have missed or I have missed and I don't want to miss anymore, all right? So we'll talk more about that in a moment. Number two, Jesus is worthy of praise. If he illustrates how and why we worship. Number two, we need to not only show up, we need to give it up. That means you give something of value to something of more value, all right? The only reason you buy something is what you can get from that product, that item, whatever you're spending money on, is more valuable to you than the money in your pocket, right? You know, that food that I have to pay for, that's more valuable than the money in my pocket, so we make this exchange. That ticket to that event I want to go to, that experience is more valuable than the money in my pocket, so I make this exchange. When we give, when we serve, when we do the things we do for God's glory, it's always an exchange, and it always comes back to this. He is the most valuable person in our lives. The ministry of this church and the missionaries we support around the world are funded by us folks who put money in a little basket back there on that table every week. We don't make a big deal about it. We don't talk about this all the time, but it fits into the text this morning. When they took off their coats, it cost them something. When they showed up, it cost them something. When they staked their reputation alongside Jesus, it cost many of them a whole lot, and later on, many of them their own lives. The fact of the matter is, we need to make sure that we are willing to give up what's of value to us for one that is the most valuable to us. We can do that through giving our money. We can do that through giving our time. We can use that by giving our talents that we have acquired or are built into us originally by our creation, or the gifts that come with the Spirit of God who indwells us as believers, and say, I'm going to give God my time, my treasure, my talents, and I want to be giving those things over to Him. Of all people we should have a spirit of generosity with, it should be our Savior. Of all people that we should give our allegiance to through all that we do and are and have, it should be the one who is the King. You get a little hint of that in this text. We need to praise Him not only together, as we talk about they came together, we need to praise Him with our heart. It needs to come out of the depths of our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's here really is going to come out. It can't be faked. It can't be, maybe you can fake it for other people, but you can't really fake it before God. So we need to offer Him our sacrifice of praise. That can be done with words, it can be done with actions, that can be done with gifts, all of the above can do that. So I want to challenge you. I think I already said this once. This week, every day this week, find something new to praise God for and make sure that you do. And if you do, God will be pleased and you'll be changed. Can we make this a week of praise? You think that would help? And then next Sunday, as Pastor Adam mentioned, which we gathered to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. What a high and special day that is. Number three, we need to speak up. Speak up. It's what they said in verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, all four Gospels use different words, all right? Some of them use the word Hosanna, which is a Hebrew word, and that means something we need to translate. Hosanna means God saves, or God save us, please. They were saying, save us, deliver us. The only problem was the mindset was not deliver us from our sin, deliver us from the penalty of lostness forever, but save us from these awful, disgusting Romans who have oppressed us. We want our freedom on this earth. Jesus was coming first and foremost to deal with the problem of sin now, the problem of the kingdoms of the world later. They wanted the benefits of the kingdom without the dealing with sin in their lives, and most of us are reluctant to do that, frankly. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. Accepting blame is not natural to us. Confessing our faults and our sins is somewhat a forced activity that we have to put in play in our life, but it doesn't come naturally. But here's what they did. They spoke up, and with these words, they said something about the Lord. Now, what they said was in harmony with God's truth. Everything that's mentioned there in verse 38 is true. And this is a quote from Psalm 118, verse 26, by the way. So you might have that in italics text in your text in front of you. That's your little clue to tell you that's something from another part of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament here. Everything is true. They're in harmony with the truth. But there were some that came along that were the naysayers. Let's go back to them for just a moment, verse 39. Some of the Pharisees called Him from the crowd, saying, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. We live in a world that is filled with frequent unbelief, rampant disbelief, people who attack our belief. They're the people who say, just leave me alone when it comes to your religion, but then they turn around and say, what you believe is dead wrong. In this case, it comes in the form of these people who are Pharisees. And notice they couch it with some respect. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Literally, they would say, Rabbi. They gave him credit as a teacher of the law. They gave him credit of a person who somehow was serving God. But certainly, you are not on the level of what these people were proclaiming you to be. You're not king. You're not the one speaking for the Lord. All this excitement, all this noise, all this praise, all this enthusiasm, all this ruckus going on as you're coming into Jerusalem is out of place. Well, it was not out of place because He was the King and He would be praised no matter what. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They need to be quiet. And then this statement. He said to them, I tell you that these should keep silent. The stones would immediately cry out. Here's the key for us. Don't let anyone else or any other mechanism take the part away from us of what we are to be doing with our lives. And that is simply this, to let our lives be speaking words of praise. Why? Because He deserves it. Because we need it. So every day this week, I'm challenging all of us to have a week of praise. Find something new every day to praise God for. God will be pleased, and you will be changed if you do. I think if I say that one more time after that one, maybe it'll get stuck by that point. So I got one more to go, all right? Because I want us to put that into practice. So we need to make sure we do that. But the fact is, these folks that were saying, you know, rebuke them, we need to say what we need to say, because we don't want anyone to take our privilege of praising God. Now, somehow, in our praise, I want to encourage you to let someone listen in to your praise of God. No matter who you're around, no matter who you're with, no matter how skeptical they are, no matter how disbelieving they are, somewhere along the line, just let it slip out that you're praising God for something. Maybe it's the meal you're about to eat. Maybe it's the day that unfolds. Maybe it's some particular blessing in your life. Just let it slip out. There might be someone that comes like a Pharisee to you and say, "What?" They may not say it, but they may think it. Wish they'd just be quiet. There's always someone telling the servants of God to be quiet. There's always someone telling us we should just shut up. That we should not, as it says on the screen, we should not be speaking up. There's always someone that's going to be down on us for speaking up. You know what? Jesus never said that. Jesus wants us to speak up for him. Jesus wanted the praise that was coming toward him because it was deserved. It wasn't just vanity. It wasn't just, you know, narcissism. It wasn't just self-aggrandizement. He was deserving of it, and he knew that. And if everyone else was quiet, God would see to it the praise would break forth. The only one to take that away. So we need to show up, collectively worship God. We need to give it up. We need to give our time, our treasure, our talents. We need to do that and make sure we praise him from our heart. Thirdly, we need to speak up in harmony with God's truth. When you see it right there in verse 38, he is the king. He's the spokesman of the Lord and so much more. And also we need to speak up because that's in harmony with God's truth. And when the other people come around, praise God anyway and let them listen in and see what happens. Let's make this week. If we can make this week a week of praise, maybe we can make the following week a week of praise. And maybe if we can put enough weeks together, we can form a pattern and a habit that's going to be transformative to all of us, and collectively even transformative to us as a church. So here's what I'm asking you to do. This week, every day, find something new to praise God for, because he's worthy of it. He's deserving of it. He'll be pleased by it, and it might just change you. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we pray about that? And you're going to have to make your commitment. I can't show up every day in your world and your life and check on your praise category. But I want to encourage us to make that commitment to do so now. Father, thank you. As those gathered on the streets and the path leading from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, from the top of that hill to the gate of Jerusalem, Lord, there was words of praise, shouts of praise, the waving of the palm branches, the spreading of the cloaks and the coats on the road, Jesus riding on that donkey as it was prophesied decades and decades before. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is worthy of our praise. Lord, we just need to be reminded every once in a while that we need to complain less and praise more. We need to worry less and praise more. We need to think more about what we need to be doing and think less of ourselves and praise more. Lord, there's so much that we insert into our lives and our time that is not worthy of your praise, not part of our praise of you. So, Father, we pray that you would just help us. Help us to make this week. Every day we praise you. Praise you for something new. Stretch the boundaries of what's on our minds and hearts towards you. Help us, Lord, to praise you not only with our lips, but, Lord, our lives, all that we have, and every act that we take for your glory. See that as a statement of praise. Help us, Lord, to be those that speak up for you. Lord, whether we are alone with you, we want to praise you. When we're with our family, our Christian family, we want to praise you. Lord, when we're with those that do not know Christ, Lord, help us to still praise you. Let them listen in on our praise. Lord, we set our sights on praising you this week in Christ's name.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.